Bad day to be named Rudy. Hashtag Rudy Kaludi.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and Yahoo Sports Australia. You can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Lots of interesting polls and things going up on the Instagram in our stories and the main feed over there. So if you are on Instagram, go ahead and give me a follow there, interact with the posts, vote in the polls, all that sort of stuff. Today, I guess it marks the unofficial start of Mock Draft Week. Next week is Mock Draft Week. 5 days, five shows, five different mock drafts. Roto drafts, head-to-head drafts, snake drafts, auction drafts, standard size, deep leagues, multiple different drafts, and today we are kicking things off. We did two mock drafts last week, an auction mock draft and a points league mock draft. Today is a standard 12-team head-to-head categories mock draft. Michael Bolton, he doesn't have one of the teams, but he still wants to watch.
Let's get to it.
All right, let us get to it indeed. All right, so here we are, 18 seconds to go before the start of this. It's a 9-category head-to-head 12-team mock draft. Initially, when I did this, I was at pick number 8. I pushed finalized draft order, and it pushed me up to number 2. So I'm okay with that. It doesn't really matter. It's a mock draft. So I'm going to be picking from the number 2 slot. We are about to kick it off, so let's get going. Again, 9-card head-to-head daily changes, snake draft. Team Sharma is off the board. That was really quick. He went with Anthony Davis, which has thrown me for a loop because I was going to take Karl Anthony Towns, assuming Harden went at number 1. I will go with Harden at number 2 then. That's all right. I'll take Jimmy at that spot. All right, so Jim Harden off the board to me at number 2. Hidden upside at number 3. The top 5, again, in any head-to-head category league should be sorted. It's Davis, it's Harden, it's Towns, it's Curry, and it's Antetokounmpo. They are the 5 guys who should be off the board. Jokic should be 6. Lillard should be 7. I think we're probably looking at Embiid or Kawhi at 8 now. I have my ideas in terms of resting for these guys is changing. I'm not as concerned about it. I think Kawhi plays 70. I think Embiid, who didn't rest at all last season, he's okay. He might rest a little bit more. The injuries are always a concern, but I'm okay at pushing them up, especially when we look at the drop-off. Is it LeBron next? Is it Beal next? Is it Drew? Is it Kyrie? I think I would rather take a flyer on a Kawhi, and especially an Embiid at pick number 8. So, at number 3, Karl Anthony Towns goes. At number 4, Gianni Antetokounmpo goes. And then at number 5, Beef Baby. This should be Steph Curry. We'll see if Beefo goes a different direction. No, Steph Curry. So that's a pretty standard top 5. Any direction that these guys want to go. I've said this multiple times. Whoever you want to pick in the top 5, it doesn't make all that much of a difference. It does change what you want to do in later rounds. I went with Harden here. I've been with Towns in other drafts. I've got him at 2 in one draft. I've got him at 1 in a roto league. I actually like Towns at 1 in a roto league. But again, it really just does depend on how you want to do things. Not that much different. Very much woke. Taking Nikola Jokic at number 6.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And in playing that sound drop, tomorrow's podcast, a bonus episode, you get 6 shows this week. It's going to be, and this is something that people have requested for a long time, it's an episode dedicated solely to the nicknames that I give players and the explanation behind my sound drop. So you'll see it on YouTube, you'll see it in your podcast feed. A bonus episode this week, tomorrow, as I go through all those things, because people have been requesting what all this means, the nonsense and nicknames and sounds and where it comes from, what the origin is and what it all means. So at number 7, Ismani goes with a different pick here, Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie copped a smack in the face yesterday or the day before and suffered a facial fracture. He is considered day-to-day. It's not a long-term injury. Maybe he wears a mask during training camp. He misses some preseason games. This is not a concern, I don't believe, with Irving moving forward. The Los Angeles Clippers takes Damian Lillard at number 8, and then Fias Kane goes with the fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
He takes him at number 9. Chocolate-covered pretzels says he forgot to poop. It's only going to take an hour, mate. Just hold on. Or go grab your phone and go sit on the toilet and mock draft. You're not being recorded, so you can go and do that. Chocolate-covered pretzels, your pick up here at number 10. Embiid is still on the board. That is who I would be looking at. And he does go with Joel Embiid at pick number 10. Now things get a little bit hairy for these guys. Do we take LeBron? Is it Beal? Do you take Drew? Do you take a flyer on Paulie George at this spot? Who I'm not that against it. Maybe he misses a week or two of the season. In general, I've said this before on shows. Dribbling Suds actually just took Bradley Beal, and then Paul George goes at number 12. So that's the end of the first round. But I've said this before. Often for the first week or two of a head-to-head league, I'm not punting those weeks or punting those wins, but I'm okay if I have a loss there because there's often weird cold and hot streaks to start a season. Rather than make panic moves and chase after things and make stupid trades or dumb drops, I'll let it settle, let's see how my team develops, and then make decisions after that. So if Paul George misses that week or so, that first week of the season, maybe 2 weeks, I'm not as completely devastated by that as I would be if he missed 2 weeks in the fantasy playoffs. At number 13, Wild Horses went with Paul George at the end of the first round. He backed it up with Luka Doncic at pick 13. I think that is too high for Doncic. You have to have supreme confidence in him improving those percentages, and I think he will. But to that level, when there's Drew, there's Booker, there's Butler, when those guys are still on the board, I think that's probably a little bit too high. But to each their own, Wild Horses, you go that direction. Dribbling Suds takes Andre Drummond to pair with Bradley Beal. Obviously, some strategy going into these picks because Drummo is not probably the best overall player left at this spot. LeBron's still on the board, but must be looking at some sort of punt free throw situation. Now, Beal is a decently good free throw shooter, but he's not excellent. So pairing those two together does make some sense. We have there at number 15, Drew Holiday off the board to the old chocolate-covered pretzels, and Fias Kane now on the board here at pick, or on the clock here at 16. LeBron's still there. This is ridiculous. LeBron must have gone, should have gone significantly higher than this. There's no way he's making it back down to me. But wow, Fias Kane goes with Jim Butler at that spot as well.
Because he's my butler.
He's not my butler. He's your butler. But this is, the fact that LeBron is sliding here is really strange to me. You guys, of course, in this mock draft can't listen to me saying this, but the Clippers, you have to take LeBron. There's no other selection here. And you don't. What on earth is going on here? Nikola Vucevic goes to the Clippers at pick number 17. Team Ismani. Come on, mate. This is straightforward. I think you have to take LeBron. Look, if LeBron falls to me, then I'm taking him, because even though it might not suit my punt build, you cannot let that value of LeBron slide all the way down. He surely is not going to make it down that far. I don't even know who I'm looking at in this spot. Of course, Harden's field goal percentage is a real concern. I probably do need to get some more assists either with my second or third pick here, because they dry up really quickly. The fourth and fifth round is a real area to target bigs, and that's what I'll look to do. But I'll probably push myself into a field goal block punt situation. There we go. LeBron off the board to Team Ismani, who goes there at 18. Just way, way, way too long for LeBron James.
LeBron James.
At pick number 18, very much woke. Is up here. Now, I think Devin Booker and Trae Young still on the board. They need to be these next couple of guys. That is who I would hope. If I can get one of those guys to fall to me down there at pick number 23, I'll be absolutely bloody wrapped. DeAndre Ayton would fit me as well, even though I do want a point guard there. Mickey Conley, Darren Fox are other guys that I'm going to be looking at, because I do want a point guard one of these picks. So Trae Young goes off the board there at number 19. Beef, baby, this has got to be a Devin Booker pick, in my opinion. Russell Westbrook still available as well. Do I go the Harden-Westbrook pairing? It's dicey. But again, I don't care about putting teammates together as long as you're drafting them in the right spot. Now, you don't want six blokes from the one team, but if you have three guys on one team, it doesn't really matter all that much. As long as it makes sense on your team, it makes sense with the rest of your squad, I think you have to consider it. Devin Booker off the board to Beef Baby. Rudy Gobert off the board to Les Moules Frites. I don't know if you're Belgian or French. I hope you're one of those two, otherwise I sound like an idiot. Hidden upside with the pick here before me. Westbrook, Ayton, Gobert in the mix here as well. Gobert just went. He's not in the mix for me. I think, Ayton is really standing out to me as an option here, especially... do I go Ayton and Westbrook? It's hard for me to pass up Russell at this spot, especially if I'm already punting field goals. Yes, his free throws have been a disaster. I reckon I can deal with that here. Westbrook is who I'm going to go for here, and then either get Ayton or the Baptist back, Johnny Collins back in round three, or do I go three point guards and really go sick on that area? But hidden upside, really just milking the clock down here. Kemba would be interesting as another point guard option for me here. Ayton off the board there to hidden upside. I am going to take Westbrook here. This is a too far of a fall for Rusty, so he is coming onto my team. So I'm going with the Houston backcourt pairing, and again, I'm totally fine with doing that here because they will both provide those numbers that I need. Team Sharma on the board here to round out the end of the second round. So my team with Westbrook and Harden. My field goal percentage is already in the toilet. My free throws, I do need to make sure I'm getting those. So Johnny Baptist Collins is probably going to be my next guy because I do need some rebounding numbers. That is who I am targeting. So if I just head across over to my list here, Johnny Collins can come onto my list. Zion also would be a potential. Do I take Benny Simmons? It's too much point, free throw hit there, especially when I don't want to waste Harden's free throw percentage. Lamal Fritz says Russ and Harden won't work in real life in fantasy. Well, in fantasy, literally, they're just numbers that I'm putting together. So yeah, I'm pretty okay with it. But yeah, thank you for your opinion on that. Team Sharma drafts Ben Simmons to round out round two. Kemba Walker still on the board. Kemba's in the mix there, and then I go 4 and 5 for big men. Let's throw Kemba in there and just really, everyone will go, okay, Josh is punting big man numbers and no shit. Like that is what I will be doing in this situation, especially if I end up with Kemba. The Baptist is another option, or I can get someone like the Tank Tom Bryant. Get him later on. I can get Bam Bam Adebayo as well. Zion off the board to Team Sharma. So that means I've got Kemba. Now I haven't shit on Kemba Walker, but I've said I don't think he's going to be as good as last season. But that's fine because he doesn't have to be as good as last season to be the number 26th overall guy. Let's go sick. Let's get guards. So I'm pretty happy. That is an aggressive bunch of guards to start off this draft. I really need to pay attention to my rebounds now. Block, field goal percentage, forget it. It's cooked. I'm done with that. Free throws, the addition of Kemba to my team helps balance out Westbrook. And if Westbrook suddenly becomes a good free throw shooter again, then I'm sweet in that area. But I do need rebounds. I do need a big man coming up soon, whether that's Favors, whether that's Bam Bam, whether that's Tom Bryant, whether that's Jonas Valanciunas, who I'll be really aggressively targeting later on in this draft. There's no way that the Baptist is coming back to me. He was my other option there, but I'm going a little bit of a different method here. Just go guard, 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 and try and get some other options. And there we go. Hidden upside. I think that's Brendan who took that one. He drafted the Baptist at pick number 28. 27 for Collins. De'Aaron Fox at 28. Really like that aggressiveness there. Again, point guards are flying. You can see them. There's not really that many left. Chris Paul's still available. Mike Conley's still available. There's not a huge amount of assists left on the board, so I'm happy that I've got a head start there, and that's why guys like Fox and Russell will go higher than you might anticipate, especially if you give two shits about turnovers, which, again, you should not. And that should not be. If you're looking at that, that means you're drafting Fox as the 60th best player, and you're missing out on his points, his steals, his assists, his free throw. His free throw percentage is not that great, but his other numbers. So, I don't worry about it. Happy with how my team looks at this early spot. Let's see, who are we up to now? Pick 29 for the old Beef Baby. That's an interesting name, Beef Baby. People, a common question that I get, oh, Josh, you know, I need a team name. If I've got these players on my team, turn them into a team name. I don't ever name my team based on the players in it. I just use random, obscure pop culture reference type things. Of course, here my team's name is Josh Lloyd, so it's not a pop culture reference. Just to update, Miles Turner off the board at 29. Donnie Mitchell off the board at number 30.
He's Don. He's good.
I think those are both very reasonable picks. Now, we're getting into that situation, and if it falls to me at the end of the fourth round and Chris Paul is still there, then I will be very, very interested. I would very much like Kevin Love in round 5 as well. I think that's a right spot for him. He helps me with my rebounds. He could get hurt, but he also could be a top 20 player if he plays 60-plus games this season. So there is going to be value appearing potentially at this point. Or at that point when it goes there, you got the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
Paul, Love, and Gallinari, three guys who I project on a per-game basis really high, but they fall down significantly into the 50s and 40s in a lot of cases because of the injury concerns and trade concerns. I don't think Paul's getting traded this season. It could happen, of course. Anything could happen. But they are guys that fall down considerably. Draymond Green off the board at number 31. Ismani, when you're taking Draymond in the first three rounds, your recovery in the points category becomes really, really tough. And that's going to put you at a bit of a disadvantage. And that's fine. but it does put you in a disadvantage. This is a guy that might be a 10-point-per-game scorer, 11-point-per-game scorer. It does really make it harder to come back when everyone's drafting 23, 24-point-per-game guys. That is the big fall-off here with drafting Draymond in this position, and that could it could have an impact on how you build your team as long as you're aware of it and you know how to get around it. The Los Angeles Clippers are next up at pick number 31. Who's my high? On the Fantrax list over there, you've got Siakam as the next highest. Wow, Bud Hield. That is aggressive for Buddy Hield at that spot. Mike Conley goes at 33. Hield at 32. Clippers, I'd like to, if at some point you want to watch this and respond, why? Why are we going there? How much better do you think he's getting than he was last season? I don't really know where he's getting better. Maybe the steals increase, but that is a lot to pay for a three-point specialist. The points are nice, but I would have taken Conley over Budrick every day of the week in that situation. D'Angelo Russell as well. Lots of other guys I would take in that spot. Siakam available still. D'Angelo, LaMarcus, DeMar, Clint Capella. They're the top of the Fantrax list here at the moment. The old chocolate cover pretzels. He is up at pick number 33, the time winding down. Who is in here? Oh, Pascal Siakam on his team. Let's have a look at Dribbling Suds' team. Bring that down there. He's got Beal and Drummond. So that is an interesting pairing to see which direction he goes in now. The old Dribbling Suds. Will he look to double down on the punt free throws? And if so, which player is he going to get? And he goes with Chris Paul. So that is an interesting combination. Beal, Paul, and Drummond. How that works remains to be seen because his free throws before the addition of Paul were sitting at 71% between Beal and Drummond. So it is a long way back from there. Wild Horses goes with D'Angelo Russell to round out round three. I think that is... No, I think I know that's a pretty strong pick. And then he goes with Kristaps Porzingis.
Porzingis.
Also a really strong pick at number 37. Which team was it? The Dribbling Suds. Free throws after adding Paul. They've come up pretty decently to 76%, which is not a bad number. It's still not where you need it to be, but it is recoverable. So he's made that decision to get Chris Paul. Now, of course, that's assuming that Chris Paul is going to stay healthy and be able to influence that category, but he's going to have to pay attention there with Drummond as a significant downturn. And it's his pick again here, Dribbling Suds. So I don't know why I'm focusing so much on his team. I guess it was just that interesting pairing of Drummond and Beal early on. And he goes with Capella, so taking the free throws right back down again. So what's important to note here is Chris Paul is a good free throw percentage shooter, and I am speaking on the behalf of Dribbling Suds. So this is what I would do in that situation. He's looked at it and goes, well, free throw percentage is often correlated with assists and steals. So I'm punting free throws. So if you look at ranks, as I detailed on yesterday's show, it's going to drop the value of those assist guys, of those steal guys. So he said, well, screw it. I don't care what their free throws are, but I need assists. I need steals. So I've got to grab a point guard. Even if they are the best free throw shooter in the world, I am not drafting them for that purpose. So that is really smart strategy, assuming that's what you're doing, Dribbling Suds. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. So Capella off the board there at pick number 38. We've got the old chocolate-covered pretzels, which, by the way, shit snack, terrible snack. Anything chocolate-covered nuts, chocolate-covered pretzels. You know what chocolate should cover? Chocolate. Shit snacks. Anyway, Kevin Love off the... Oh, so I'm sorry, Mitchie Robinson first off there to the pretzels.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
And then Kevin Love goes at number 40. I guess that took that decision out of my hands. The Italian cock is still available for me to grab. The Clippers, after going with Buddy Hield in the last round, they are looking to double down and hopefully not make me shit on their pick again. Let's see how you go with that one. What pick would they make here that would make me shit on it? DeMar DeRozan, I think. Let's see. Come on, the Clippers. All right, so I probably should start looking at who the hell I'm going to pick in this spot. I do need some rebounds badly, so I do need a big man here at round four and probably in round five as well. Bam Bam Adebayo to the Clippers. Yeah, that's a strong pick for Bam Bam there.
Bam Bam! Bam Bam!
Is Manny up here? Now, an option for me here is going to be LaMarcus Aldridge. I like his rebound numbers. That's going to fit what I want to do. I look also at Lauri Markkanen as another option. Where's he on the list? He's coming into play here for me. Again, I do need some big men. Tom Bryant, of course, the tank. Let's search his name up because he is down lowish on Fantrax. So he's on my list. These are three of my options that I'm looking at here at this spot. What other big men have I got on board? Valanciunas, of course, Big JV. So let's add him onto my queue. All right. Kyle Lowry goes to team Ismani. Strong option. I think Lowry is being underrated in a lot of areas this season. Otto Porter, another option who should be going in this range to one of these guys. Very much work beef baby, Mool Frit, and hidden upside. Mool Frit, if you are in Belgium, hey, let me know, because I'm going to be in Belgium, I'm pretty sure, next year. And hey, some advice would be great, even if you're in France. But hey, if you're in France, let me know as well. If you're in Belgium, also let me know, because I am going to be headed over there next year. That's all you need to know about my travel plans. Very much woke on the board here, on the clock here at number 43. All right, which way are we going? Lowry Markkanen, you know what? Piss off. But I still, there's four picks until me. I've got three blokes on my list. How much or how hard will I get dicked? No, I won't get dicked, because Otto Porter goes off the board to the old beef baby, so I am okay with that. That's going to give me one of these players in this area for me. Bob Covington's another option. The rooster, the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari could be an option for me too. Actually, he'd fit my team in a real sexy way, Gallinari. So let's throw him on the list, but I do need to get a big man. Mool Frit going with Derek Favors. Hidden upside. Hidden upside. I'm pretty sure, Brendan, you're in Melbourne, aren't you? Another Melbourne person. So, hey, just enjoy the nice sunny weather today and our public holiday tomorrow. Chocolate Covered Pretzel says, Josh is taking Bob Cov here. Ha-ha.
Ha-ha, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
Lemuel Frit says no. Lemuel Frit, you are correct. He's going to take Aldridge. Can you guys just piss off? Like, stop saying who I'm going to take. I know you don't know who I'm going to take, but just stop talking about it. That is common draft etiquette as well. Not to shit on you, these blokes. Don't talk about players who haven't been spoken. Like, that's simple. Anyone who hasn't been drafted, don't talk about him. Don't say, oh, he's going to take this guy or take this guy. Just don't do it. I think it's bad etiquette. I'm not going to call these blokes out. I actually just did call them out. I'm not going to call them out in the chat box because it's a mock. But don't call out players' names or don't talk about players that haven't been drafted. It's pretty common, I believe, draft etiquette. Anyway. Hidden upside takes Bob Covington as his timer expired. That is, as the French would say, unlucky. Who do I look at here? It's probably going to be LaMarcus. He'll give me what I need in that spot. So that is going to be bang for me. I'll take Aldridge there. So that guy was right. Triple J was an option for me in that area as well. I obviously didn't go that direction. But I'm okay with how that looks. Now, that's really putting me into a pretty... I need another big man with this next pick. It's putting me into a really strong punt block situation. My field goals, they're not looking great, of course. But adding Aldridge actually gives them a bit of a boost. But it's more about I need the rebounds. So I'm looking for a big man to get rebounds in this spot. Hey, very much work says, we'll never know. Yes, you would, because I'm recording a podcast and I wasn't going to take Covington at that spot. So you're going to know pretty soon when you listen to this show, which I'm recording this about a day in advance before this show gets released. So you will find out. Team Charmer takes the Tom Bryant, the tank. That was another one of my options there. So JV is the guy that I want. Charmer is on the board. I want Valanciunas here. Bledsoe and Levine also options, as is the Italian cock. But I want to get more rebounds. I need rebound. Or do I get assists? Debating this one. I think I need the rebound. So let's go with JV. And then I'll get some other interesting wingish type players later on, and guards and some assists. You know, Rick Rubio, Jeff Teague, I'm going to be heavily targeting them. Shea even in round six if I can get to that spot. But yeah, Bledsoe is really... Ooh, Lonzo Ball. Bledsoe is really interesting to me here. I think I'm going to take JV at this spot. Just want to get those boards up. Really help me in the rebounding area. Which is something I do need to rectify with the way my team looks. That does help my blocks in field goal percentage. And again, when I talk about punting, it doesn't matter if a guy's got good field goal or good block numbers if I'm looking to build other areas. I just needed to get a big man in here. Now, I've got a couple of bigs. I've got a good rebounding point guard in Westbrook, a guy who gets rebounds as well in terms of Harden. Now I need some wing players, some more assists. So we're going to be looking at, hopefully we could get someone like Levine to fall. It's not going to happen, but Rubio, Brogdon, Gilgeous Alexander, Rozier will be an absolute option for me here at some point. Gordon Hayward, Joshy Richardson, Ja Morant would be great on this team as well. So there's plenty of options here for me to look at, assuming that they all fall to me. So I'm okay with how I look at the moment. Four guys on my team. Lemuel Freet, or Jaren Jackson, went one pick after Valanciunas. Fair enough. Yeah, Jaren could have easily gone higher. Maybe I should have taken him above Jonas. I don't think there's any problem with doing that. Shea off the board there to Mulfreet. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, of course, and this is about the right spot with upside to actually get better, and I think that's an important point as well. Maybe he's worse, especially early in the season, but I feel pretty good about him exceeding this number. As we get in later to the season, the old beef baby on the clock at pick number 52. Team Sharma says there's so much table talk. Let's let Josh do the analysis in advance, shall we? Make sure we're not influencing the draft. Thank you, Team Sharma, for throwing that out there. Wendell Carter Jr. to Beef goes with Beef. Sorry, Wendell Carter Jr. got drafted by Beef Baby. I'm struggling to pronounce words because it's not something that I do every day. So Wendell Carter Jr. off the board. He is ready to go for training camp after having that hernia surgery. So that's good news. Very much woke. Now on the board at number 53, Levine Bledsoe. These are two guys who are falling here. They're top 50 players. I think that they need to be drafted. Blake Griffin, also a guy who should be going off the board really quickly here. I'm just going to throw Zach and Bledsoe into my queue just in case, because they need to be off the board here in these next couple of picks. This is the right area to grab those players, especially if you don't have those assists on your team like you did like early on. I need some steals on my squad as well. It hurts that LaMarcus Aldridge and Valanciunas are just absolutely disgustingly bad at getting steals. I do need to get steals, but that's where an Oubre or a Bridges or an Ingles or those sort of guys later on, Rubio added to my team, can help get that back up, because that is a focus, and I need some threes, which again is something that can come in later on. Hassan Whiteside off the board at number 55. The Clorpers here, really a lot of value staring him in the face here, so he does need to pay attention to these guys that are still around. There are quite a few good players here that he can make the selections of. And then that'll be pick number 55. What else do we do? Just, if you're not following, if you're listening to this audio-wise, go and check out the YouTube channel. Just search Locked On Fantasy Basketball. You can watch the draft there. But also, just subscribe, hit like. It helps me grow on that platform as well. You'll find different things, some interesting things hopefully happening with the YouTube channel this season as well. You'll get some great info that the subs have gone through the roof recently. The Clorpers took Tatum, and Fias Kane took Eric Bledsoe at 57. Great value for Bled there. And Levine's still on the board. Great value for them. But over on YouTube, yeah, go and subscribe, leave a comment, interact with the show. There's going to be some great stuff happening there. The Pretzels go with DeMar DeRozan at pick number 58. Not an incorrect selection. I would have taken Levine over him, but it's still fine to grab him. And Dribbling Suds, who's got a really coherent plan as to what he's doing with his punt free throws. His direction here is going to be very interesting too. I think Blake Griffin probably suits him the best, but getting a guard will also be quite useful. I don't know if anyone saw ESPN's top 100 players list they are putting out. They had CJ McCollum at number 13, which is, it's not fantasy. Look, and I'll talk about their fantasy rankings in a second, but they're that number 13, CJ McCollum, he is not the 13th best player in the NBA. I don't know who's voting. I don't know what actual criteria the people voting on that made that, but that is an absolute nonsense decision to have him at number 13. And this is no hate to CJ. He is a good player. He's fine at what he does. He is not that good. And no one in their right... Look, I think deep down, CJ McCollum would say, you know what? I'm not the 13th best player in the NBA. Jamal Murray goes... Oh, sorry. Zach LaVine to the Dribbling Suds. Jamal Murray, the Blue Arrow to the Wild Horses. And he backs it up with the Italian Cock.
Hands off my cock!
So, yeah, some strong picks by these guys. All those players that were in my queue are now gone. We are headed into round 6. At the moment, pretty tough competitive draft so far. You know, making these are the rounds where you got to really start to kill it. You got to make the right call in a lot of these selections here. So this is this becomes quite important. But what I was going to say, ESPN rankings. The thing that I just do not understand, and nobody will be able to explain this away to me, but ESPN puts out rankings. They put out points rankings. They put out roto rankings. Of course, they screwed up the roto rankings and had Patrick Beverley at number 12. They fixed that now. Paul George is back in that spot, as I mentioned. But then they go out and put out projections, and they don't marry up to the rankings at all. So they look at these projections, and Montrezl Harrell is an example, who in a points league, they've got ranked as the 29th highest player, but they have his stats projected basically identical to where they were last year, which was not even in remotely the same ballpark as being a top 30 player. The projections don't make sense. They've got Terry Rozier playing 38 minutes a night. They've got Giannis playing 37 minutes a night, which is just not going to happen. The projected stats are foolish, they don't make sense, and they do not tie in anywhere near what the projections or the ranks actually mean. And that, to me, is the most nonsense way about trying to deal with fantasy basketball. So that is my thought process there. Let's talk more. Dribbling Suds, Al Horford off the board. Joshy Richardson goes next to the chocolate-covered pretzels, and Blake Griffin goes at pick number 64. That's pretty late for Griffin. I think that's a really, really valuable pick to get him at that spot. You got Brogdon still on the board, ravishing Rick Rubio, Terry Rozier. These are the players I'm looking at. I'm going to throw Moran, I'm going to throw Brogdon down into my list. I'm going to throw Gordy Haywood down into my list. He's another player I want there. Rozier is absolutely someone I want here. As much, again, I don't think he's a good player, but he, who took him? You asshole. The Clippers took Terry Rozier. Dribbling Suds, and this is interesting. He says, I hope the term dog's balls doesn't get used in reference to my team. Now, this is an explanation, an Aussie slang explanation, if you don't know what it means. Dog's balls is not an insult. It's not me saying your team looks like dog's balls. It looks like shit. That's not what it means. If I say something sticks out like dog's balls, it means it is glaringly apparent. It is when you look at a dog from the back, their tail is up, and you can see two big testicles sticking up between their legs. You look at the dog, you go, man, that's a set of nuts. That is what when I say something sticks out like dog's balls, it means it is just, it's the same as saying it sticks out like a sore thumb, if you know what that term means. It literally just means something is glaringly apparent, it sticks out, it is highlighted, it is in your face. It doesn't mean your team's shit. In fact, I think your team is pretty strong. Team Chalmers coming in here and helping. I think dog's balls can be positive, just they stick out. Exactly. Thank you, Team Chalmers. You are absolutely 100% correct, as I'm missing picks here explaining dog's balls. Anyway, Terry Rozier off the board to the Clippers. Our team is Manny picking CJ McCollum, the 13th best player in the NBA. Let's go. Dog's balls equates to conspicuousness. Yes, thank you. Thank you for explaining it. Everyone who is in the draft room can see all these explanations now. All right, so back on track. Very much woke on the board here at pick number 66. I've got to get some steals and I've got to get some assists. So this is putting Rubio, Rozier is off the board, Haywood, Morant, he's going to come into play around here. DeMontis Sabonis off the board to very much woke. Stop saying people's names, you ass. That's all right. I was going to say you're an asshole, but you are saying it because you're drafting him. So that's fine. So, of course, ravishing Rick Rubio just went at pick number 68. At pick number 69...
Giggity.
Ja Morant off the board, who was hoping would fall there. Hidden upside with the selection here at pick number 70. Then I am up at number 71. So this is getting a little bit dicey for me. I do need to get more assists because, again, they're getting hard to find. Who do I look for here? Yeah, I can wait and get Teague, which I'll probably do. Derek White, DeLon Wright, Caris LeVert even could help me later on. Fredrick Van Vliet. But Brogdon is the guy that I do want to grab here if possible, if upside doesn't go that direction. Rubio and Morant were the guys that I wanted, so that's unfortunate that they are off the board. Julius Randle could be another pick to get my... Actually, yeah, to get my rebounds up, let's throw Randle on there. And then go back to get Brogo in round 7 or reach up for Teague? I don't know. I need those assists, so that's going to be an interesting one there for me as to what I do in that area. Jeremy Lamb. That it's an auto pick, but it's obviously from a queue because he wasn't at the top of that queue. Now, Tobias Harris, I'm not big on where they have him on many draft boards, but this is getting too low. So do I take Toby here? I'm going to say I don't because I want Julius. I want Julius. I want his rebounding numbers, and Harris's rebound numbers, I think, will be dropped down. So I'll take Julius there. I think this is the right spot for him. The defensive numbers is obviously a concern on punting blocks. I do need steals, though, so that is a bit of a worry for me that I don't have those steals. I think Randall's assist numbers might rise a little bit in New York also. Two picks to go. I need that point guard, whether it's Haywood and his assist, whether I get Brogdon, he would be my ideal guy. Do I reach up and grab Teague, 6 or 7 assist, and really throw everybody later on in the draft for a bit of a loop? I think that is absolutely an option for me here with my next selection. Team Sharma on the board. Come on, Sharma. Did you want Randle? That's a little bit unlucky for you. Let's make this pick and round out round six, and we can see how everything goes. He goes with Steve Adams at pick number 72. Adams' rebounds should go up. Free throws are a massive issue. They were horrible last season. I think it was at 45% post-All-Star break from the free throw line, which is obviously a pretty horrible result. I need these steals. And look, the problem with me getting Brogdon here is he's shit at steals. But I need his assists. I still can get steals. Or do I... Miles Bridges. Whoa, no, he's gone as well. So Team Charmer grabs Miles Bridges at 73. So what am I doing at this spot? Is it too early fatigue? Probably. Do I need to... Do I just want to bang in these assists and then go hard on the steals with my last three picks? Probably. Let's go. Oh, or is it Brogdon? Nah. Brogdon or Teague? Brogdon or Teague? Value would tell me it's Brogdon. Value would tell me it's also Tobias Harris. Value would tell me it's Aaron Gordon in this spot. Marvin Bagley. Let's go with Brogo. No, I don't feel comfortable with that, but I'm took Malcolm Brogdon there at pick number 74. At least I know these minutes are going to be fine. The efficiency is good. He's a great free throw shooter. He hit some threes. Hopefully the assists rise back up playing point guard as opposed to playing shooting guard the last couple of seasons. But there was a few options that I had in that area that I didn't obviously, I wasn't completely sold on. It's not a bad pick there. The steals are getting pretty grim for my team. Now my field goal percentage has actually recovered pretty nicely. My team sits at 49%. And again, that's what I mean. When if you're punting a category, I'm ignoring it. But it ended up coming out all right. Now, I might drop back off later on. If I had grabbed a Terry Rozier, it would have fallen way off, but I didn't. So maybe that becomes a strength of mine as we move forward. Yeah, blocks I'm obviously not paying any attention to. But field goal percentage is looking okay for me. My team's sitting at 49% from the field and 81% from the free throw line. They are pretty okay numbers. Ton of threes, good rebounds, good assist numbers. It's just that my steals coming in at one per game. I really need one of these guys, whether that is a Kelly Oubre with my next pick, whether that is a Caris LeVert who can be a decent steals guy. DeLon Wright is excellent at them. Maximum Derek White.
Maximum Derek.
Do I look at someone like him? DeJounte Murray, who's going to get me a shit ton of those numbers as well. Where is Derek White? Have I missed him? 108. That's weirdly low. So there are going to be some options. McCall as well is going to be one of my guys there. McCall Bridges of the Phoenix Suns. He's going to be a later round target for me. LeVert off the board there to Lemuel Frit. Lemuel Frit. I'm actually learning French at the moment, because I'm heading over to Europe next year trying to brush up on my French. So I'm trying to learn French at the moment. I apologize for my poor pronunciation. Brook Lopez off the board. Toby Harris, now this is the one. He is sticking out like dog's balls. He needs to be taken by one of these next couple of guys. Very much woke. You're looking, if you need 20-point scorers or close enough to it, Toby is the guy. I think this is probably too low for him. Aaron Gordon, they're probably the top of the board guys that are left. Not probably, they are definitely the. In terms of my board, you've also got Larry Nance, who's in that mix. He is a great late steals guy. DeLon Wright, can you guys not take the guys that I want? That'd be great. Larry Nance, let's throw him on there. A really, really strong steals guy. I don't know what nonsense Beeline's going to run in terms of the centers and Tristan Thompson and Ante Zizic for the Cavs, but Nance should be the guy getting the bulk of those minutes and putting up big steal numbers with big field goal percentage. You know, grabbing him, that might actually help my field goal percentage even more. So he's on my list of players here over there at the side. Pick number 79 is Manny. He is ready to rock and roll. DeMarcus Cousins, if anyone's auto-picking, Boogie is still on this list for some reason. He needs to go off that board. Toby Harris, again, we're sitting at 78. This is just way too low. Somebody needs to, now, even if he didn't fit what I was doing, I think you have to take him here and make that adjustment. He's just sitting a little bit too much out there. Same with Gordon Hayward, and there goes Hayward to Ismani. I think that's a strong pick from him with upside to be a top 50 guy. Is everyone in this mock draft just been listening to me say I'm not high on Toby as a top 40, top 50 player? Because that's true, but at pick 80, I'm bloody very much in. So yeah, have a look at it. Aaron Gordon there as well. A few guys gone higher than I would have thought there. DeLon Wright, I think that's way too high for him. Jeremy Lamb was too high for him as well. Although that was an auto pick, so I'll give a benefit of the doubt at that spot. There is some real value in these mid-rounds, though, as you can see. There we go. The Clorpers taking Tobias Harris. Really strong option there. Fias Kane on the board. He goes with Marvin Bagley. Big Marv at pick number 82, 81. about the right spot for him as well. Free throw percentage, we know with Bagley is going to be a concern, so that is something that we do need to take or pay attention to. His low assist, low steal, and low free throw percentage is obviously an issue. Maximum Derek White goes to chocolate covered pretzels, so that's another one of my guys who I was looking at later on is off the board, which is fine. That's not a bad it's not a bad spot to grab Maximum Derek White. DeJounte Murray is going to be a key target for me, as is Uber. I would bloody love if Oubre fell. It's not going to happen. We're a lot of picks away from mine, but I would love to get Oubre in this spot. He's right at the top of my board with Gordon and with Nance. So they are obviously options here if I can get there. Louis Williams is going to be an option as well. Aaron Gordon goes off the board there at pick number 83. To the dribbling Suds, who is putting together a pretty strong team at this point. I'm not overly happy with how my mock draft is rolling at the moment. It's not terrible, but you know, I went with a pretty aggressive punt type strategy. The table, Montrezl Harrell goes to the Wild Horses to round out round 7. And with round 8, he begins it with Kelly Oubre. I think there's obviously work I've got to do on this team. My rebounds, field goals, I've got a lot of points. I don't need points really from anybody here at this point. My team is projected to average 23 points per game, which is significantly higher than every other team in the draft so far. So that's something that I have to pay no attention to, but also points is now impossible to get. So I've got to start focusing on these other areas. So I'll using the draft tracker on Basketball Monster, I can go ahead and click the punt point situation to take that value out of the players who are left to try and get my other guys up, whether that is someone like a Marcus Smart, who's going to fit pretty nicely with what I do with my steals and assist numbers. He's another option on my board. Jeff Teague goes to Dribbling Suds.
My name is Jeff.
That's a strong pick there as well. A little bit higher than his ADP, but totally fine to get him at that area. I think that's probably the right spot. Murray, look, these guys on my list there, Murray, Bridges, Nance, Marcus Smart, they are some other options I'm looking at this spot. Patty Beverly, Marcus Sol in play, Fred VanVleet, these are all other options. Now, I obviously need a small forward because I don't have one. Larry Nance goes to the chocolate-covered pretzels there. That's a good pick as well. All right, so ideally I want DeJounte with this next pick. There is an element of risk involved in that, but I think that at the spot that we're at, that risk is pretty much mitigated. So DeJounte is my guy that I want, and then do I back it up with Marcus Smart after that, or is it Bridges that I grab? Do I grab someone like the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, to help out with those rebound numbers? Tomas Satoransky. Is anyone who's checked this listening, how bad is my pronunciation of that? I'd love to know. Freddie VanVleet off the board to Fias Kane at pick number 88. And who else? The Clorpers are up now. So I've got 6 picks to go until it's my turn. There's been most of this stuff going pretty much according to plan. Victor Oladipo. And we're getting into Oladipo territory here. I really don't want to have to make that pick myself, and I probably won't. But once we head into round 9, that's going to make it interesting. Jarrett Allen off the board at 89. Possibly a bit early for Allen, but again, he should outplay DeAndre Jordan. Do I have confidence in that? Absolutely not, considering he got 26 minutes a night when Ed Davis was the guy behind him last season. And, you could make an argument, and I probably would, that Ed Davis is a better player than DeAndre Jordan at this point, especially for the role that he is in. So maybe that means that Allen plays more this season because he has an inferior backup, but I don't know that the Nets will necessarily think that way. That remains to be seen. So there's a bit of a risk in taking Allen there. It's not a disastrous decision, though. 5 picks to go until it's me. Manny is on the board. Lots of options that you can look at instead of taking my guy. That would be awesome if you didn't do that. Wiggins apparently still up at the top here of the Fantrax draft board. He is not. I think Wiggins is going to have a better year this year. No doubt about that. And he is worth a fantasy, a standard league draft pick. In the top 100? No, he's not. Neither is the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, where they are both ranked here at the moment on Fantrax, and hopefully somebody can fall for those. Team is Manny grabs Dwight Powell, who was a monster at the end of last season. But with Porzingis, with D'Lon Wright, with a better team around them, will he be able to maintain that? The answer is almost definitely no, but I think he's going to start. He puts up pretty good steal numbers, high field goal percentage, good rebound numbers, decent, and he started to hit a 3 a little bit as well, so there is some value there in Dwighty Powell. Fias Kane commenting, bad luck, he didn't get Larry Nance. That's unfortunate for you. Very much woke. Oh, who are you? I want DeJounte. That is who I want. He is definitely going to get taken, and it's going to cause me frustration. Marc Gasol, Lou Williams, they are still on the board. They probably should be going in these next four picks. JaVale McGee and McCall Bridges. Now, that is early. I thought it's not early in terms of value. He can give this value potentially. It's early just in terms of where I thought he would go. I thought we'd get him maybe into round 9 or round 10. People getting very much into grabbing these upside-ish type guys. Marcus Smart gone to Beef Baby, just obliterating my queue here. DeJounte Murray, Lamour Fritt, and Hidden Upside. If you could stay away, that'd be pretty exciting for me. So, Lou Williams, Marcus, do I get Marcus Sol? JaVale McGee off the board to Lamour Fritt at pick at number 93. And then Oladipo goes a Hidden Upside. I think that's fair enough to grab him at 94. That leaves me with DeJounte Murray. Let's actually go and add him onto the team. And that is a guy that I targeted a while out. I'm happy to get him there. The steals, the rebounds, which are two numbers that I was lacking in. Any bonus assists he gives me is great. I'm happy to get DeJounte there at that spot. I think that does work for me pretty well. What else? I need steals here. So Patty Beverly, Satoransky. Yeah, I think Zachy Collins. Let's throw Zach onto the mix. Let's throw Sato onto the mix. I need a small forward, though. My small forwards are not all that great. Is it Batum? God, no, it's definitely not Batum. Is it my man, Gary Harris?
Nice, Gary!
I think it might be. Now, Harris's steal numbers dropped off unbelievably last season. Could they come back? Sure. Will they? I don't know. But they were really, really down, as were his minutes, as were his shooting percentage numbers. He also has the benefit of being a small forward eligible player here. Now, I can't take Satoransky because Shamu has taken him at the pick at the end of round 8. So, and then Marc Gasol goes at round number 9. So it is now my turn. What do I do? Is it Gaz that I take? Think it, or is it Patty Beverly? I think it's Gazza. All right, let's take Gaz. He can fill my small forward hole.
Giggity.
All right, there we go. Gary Harris.
No.
98. Let's hope it's nice for Gary to grab him there at number 98. All right, so now I've got a flex spot and three bench spots to fill out on this squad. Still, you know, my blocks are obviously in the toilet. Need some more steals and boards if possible. Field goal percentage could do with a little bit of work as well. Strong in assist steals, strong in points, massive in free throw percentage. Those categories not 100% locked up, but pretty close to being locked up. So Zach Collins, I'd love if he fell down to round 10. Do I think that he will? No. Colin Sexton is an interesting pick, but he just doesn't do what I need him to do. Same with Brandon Ingram, who I think can be interesting there. I need those steal numbers. I need the rebound numbers. They're not going to be the guys that I want at that spot, even though I think the value is it's there. So, look, maybe that happens. Same with Justice Winslow, who could be an option for me. I can absorb their bad free throw percentage at that spot as well. Hidden Upside goes with Patty Beverly. That's a strong selection there. I think Beverly will be fine playing alongside George and Kawhi. Now, if they decide to go with the weird lineup of starting Landry Shamet at point guard with George, Leonard, and Jermichael Green, that's fine. It's also shit because Jermichael Green is not that good, and I don't think we should be prioritizing playing him over playing Patrick Beverly. So I think that's a little bit pie in the sky thinking from some people. The obvious thing is, and this is another one sticking out like dog's balls, is the Clippers start Patrick Beverly, they start Landry Shamet, they start Paul George, they start Kawhi Leonard, they start Ivica Zubac. That is dog's balls. That is as obvious as it gets. Not trying to shoehorn Shamet into the point guard when the team lacks passing anyway. Not trying to shoehorn Jermichael Green in because Paul George and Kawhi are too precious to call themselves power forwards. When let's be honest, they are both power forwards, really. And you know, small forward, power forward, that's their position. So it is pretty frustrating to see that sort of nonsense, especially if it means putting out inferior lineups because people get sad about being labeled a certain position. The Enes Kanter off the board at 102. 103 is the Padawan Colin Sexton. If you want to know what that means, tune in to tomorrow's nickname explanation show. That is Team Is Manny grabbing old Sexo there, one half of the Sexland combination, which is as good of a backcourt nickname. Splash Brothers, you can have it. It's all about Sexland in Cleveland, so I can't wait till that starts together. And I wouldn't be surprised if Garland is actually better than Sexton this season. Dario Saric off the board to the Clippers. Zach Collins, Fias Kane, really just dicking me hard there by taking him off the queue. And the old chocolate-covered pretzels are up here at pick number 105 as these guys start to round out the back end of their rosters. Kevon Looney is absolutely a guy I'm looking at here. I obviously think he is better than Willie Cauley-Stein because Willie Cauley-Stein is not good. Looney had some pretty big games in the playoffs, was key. Steve Kerr's talked him up. This is about the right time, especially when I need rebounds and steals, and he offers both of those things. So he is on my queue. Who else are we looking at here for me? Kevin Huerter would be interesting as well to help boost up my threes. He can give me assists too. So Fantapants is going to be an option for me when it comes back around eventually. So let's put him there. The fact that Lou Williams is still there is confusing. So I'll throw him on just in case. Remember Marcelo Huertas, who came up as I searched Huerta? That's interesting. Thad Young, that's early. All right, Serge Ibaka goes to the pretzels and Thad Young to dribbling suds. Now, I know that Thad Young can provide some steals. I just don't see the value in him at 108. It's not terrible, but there's pretty limited upside as a specialist. It's not too bad. I don't know how Boylan is going to ruin things in Chicago, because that is almost his job description. But I still just don't think we're getting those same minutes from Thad as last season. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, off the board to Wild Horses to round out round 9 at pick number 108. The Wild Horses are back at pick number 109. After that round, my team in the projected standings really jumped up because just filling out those needs. And that often happens when I'm drafting using my projections on Basketball Monster. And it might happen to you the first couple of rounds, you see yourself down low. Don't get too distraught over it. Continue your theory of your team build and you'll see it start to take shape later on in the draft. I found that almost universally happens. Dan Green off the board to Wild Horses there at pick number 109. Dribbling Suds. I think Dribbling Suds is going to have to take Lou Williams at 110. It is too low for him at this spot. I think we really do need to pay attention to getting him there at this spot. Lou Williams, who else is probably holding it? TJ Warren, maybe? He's an option there. RJ Barrett, I see, is ranked too high on Fantrax. I wouldn't be touching him at that sort of a spot. Although, again, if you're punting the percentages, perhaps that can be of use to you. I need my rebound, so that is why Looney is on my board here. And then we get into some tough areas. Bogdan Bogdanovich is around. What are the big men, though? Kelly Olynyk, Maxi Kleber, Jakob Poeltl. These are not upside-ish type guys. That is why I want Looney, if I can. Rudy Gay off the board to the Dribbling Suds there at number 110. A low upside but solid enough contributor. He should return this value, but almost zero chance of getting better than this. And that's okay as your 10th guy, but still, you're going to provide good value just with limited upside at pick number 110, I believe. And of course, everything I say is because I believe it. That is why I say it. All right, the Pretzels took Kevon Looney because, of course, he did. Lou Williams off the board there to Fias Kane at number 112. So I need to reassess what I'm doing. Where am I finding rebounds at this point? Do I throw Cody Zeller? God, that is as uninspiring of a selection as I could make, I think, at that spot. But, I need the rebounds. I need some steals. Who the hell else am I going to be able to pick at that spot? Or is it... No, you know who it is. It's this bloke. It's big Alex Len. He is who I want. And, of course, searching for Len is always a exercise fraught with danger because everyone whose name is Alan or Glenn comes up. So, Alex Len. Two Atlanta Hawks people in my queue, Fantapants and Alex Len. If I can get both of those guys with round 10 and round 11, the Clouppers go with Alex Len, so that's going to require me to reassess how I live my life at this spot. Maybe it's Davis. Davis Bertans. With the injury to Troy Brown, the Wizards are going to, I believe, have to start Bertans and Rui Hachimura together in the preseason. I didn't think they'd do that in the regular season, but with Miles and Brown out, I think that's the direction they're going. Okay, I don't see them going back to Brown necessarily. Maybe they do, and they move Rui into Bertans' position and push Brown in there, which they should be starting Troy Brown and seeing what he can do. But I think this is an opportunity, at least, for some value. Maybe I'll throw Rui onto my list as well. I'm not quite sold on him just yet, but we'll throw him onto my queue. Team is Manny, just one in the clock down, taking all that time that he possibly can. Who else is DeAndre Jordan? No, the answer to that is no. Why don't suggest it, Josh? I need steals. Who's available who can get me steals and rebounds? PJ Tucker? That's not ideal, is it? Joshy Okogie, Jaylen Brown, not a rebounder though. Who else is a decent steals guy that's left on the list? Kent Bazemore, not a rebounder. Yeah, it's looking pretty grim here, to be honest. TJ Warren, Evan Fournier. I think it's got to be Bertans for me. Not that he's a high steals guy, but he can at least help in the rebounds. And then, it's not ideal, is it? Who else is a good rebounder that's left? Jakob Poeltl, but he's a minuscule steals guy. Kyle Anderson is a good steals guy. Maybe it's him that I look at in this spot, but what's he going to do behind Clark and Jackson and Valanciunas and Crowder and even Bruno Caboclo, even though the biggest investment they have in those guys outside of the young players is Kyle Anderson. They didn't use him all that much last year. I'll throw him on the list anyway because he does have upside. Look, 30-plus minutes for Anderson. If he gets there, unlikely, would return pretty good value. Dennis Smith Jr. off the board to Lemuel Freet, a great upside pick at pick number 117. Terrence Ross went there one before at 116, and Fournier the pick before his Orlando Magic teammate. Can't wait for the Orlando Magic, who are going to be wearing an orange uniform this season. That's going to be as a city edition, but that was confirmed yesterday that their court is the city edition court. It's got orange on. I haven't actually seen the pictures of it. I need to go and have a look and see how it looks, but I'm pretty excited for it. I want just wild shit happening with the uniforms. I'm all for it. The only uniforms I've hated, I don't like the camo ones from the Spurs and that weird khaki green one the Miami Heat wore a couple of years ago. They're the only jerseys I've really hated over the last couple of years. Hidden upside goes with JJ Redick, and I think the idea of drafting Redick goes completely against the ethos of your team name because there is no upside in Redick. Let us... Who is it going? I think it's got to be Bertans. Oh, man, I don't feel good about it at 120, but the value is just evaporating. All right, Davis Bertans. There we go. That is the end of my starting lineup. It's not ideal, is it? It's not a great pick to get Davis at that spot. Chama rounding out round 10, and then we get into the bench. Now, taking upside shots on the bench is fine. You don't want all of your bench for really deep guys because you do, again, need to, in a daily head-to-head league, you need to use your bench. You need to rotate these guys in thoroughly. You need to have guys to stream through, but three streams is not going to be useful, especially if your league has an acquisition limit of four or five. You can't use three streamers. Having one or two of those guys max is probably the right way to go. But hitting a third upside-ish type pick is also interesting. But you've got to really balance it. I wouldn't just be going, oh, hey, I'm taking massive flyers on everybody. Take Culver, take DeAndre Hunter, and take... Who else is a flyer type at the end of a draft that you could look at? Yeah, Brandon Clark. I wouldn't want to stack my bench that way with three guys like that. I'm going to throw Bogdan and Jaylen onto my bench. All right. Ish Smith and PJ Tucker off the board to Chama. So this is my selection at pick number 122. I was talking too much. Hidden Upside says he's waiting for me to snipe him. I have no idea who he thinks I'm going to take or who he wants to take, but I am going to take the Ginger Ninja, Kevin Huerter. Let's go. Let's ask if that's who he wanted. Is that who? All right. I'm pretty good with Huerter. He's locked in as a starter. Yes. Okay, so Fias Kane thought it's who I wanted. Hidden Upside takes Boyan. I probably could have taken Bogdan at that spot. I just don't know how the Kings are going to use him, despite him being one of their clear five best players. Let's see. Lemuel Freet. Bogdan. Yeah, maybe I should have taken Bogdan. Man, the regret is actually real at some of this point. I just worry about how the Kings use him. That's my main concern. The Ariza, the Barnes signings, Heald and Fox. Like, how are they going to squeeze him in? Their reluctance to play Bagley as a center, which, again, their best lineup is Bagley at the five, Barnes at the four, Bogdanovic at the three, Heald at the two, Fox at the one. Will we see it? I don't know. Lemuel Freet taking Andy Wiggins. Let's see. I'd love to know who he thought I was taking at that spot, because any advice would be interesting. I think it's probably Bogdan he was assuming I was going to take. Oh, let's go. Beef, baby. Got two picks left. We're at pick number 125 here. Wiggins at 124 for Freedy, I think, is the right spot. Upside there, if it doesn't work out, who gives a shit? it's all fine. I think that's a pretty strong option to go there with Wiggins at that spot. And again, I think in my last two picks here, even though Herder might be considered an upside guy, I don't really think it is. I'm going with a lot of upside with these last couple of picks. Beef Bay, now that is interesting. Tyus Jones, you must be thinking we're going to get a Morant Jones backcourt and that Dylan Brooks is trash. And he's right at least on one of those points. I don't think we're going to get huge minutes from Tyus. But I guess if you're searching out 4 or 5 assists per game, which Tyus can obviously bring, it's not a horrible pick. But as you're seeing, point guards, mate, Maximum Derek White, he went early. Jeff Teague went early. DeLon Wright went super early. Tyus Jones, not a draftable player in most cases. He's gone here in round 11. So assists are really, really high priority here. Interestingly, though, the fact that Justice Winslow is still on the board and Brandon Ingram, small forward players who can provide assists are available. Spencer Dinwiddie, also another option. Now, I'm going to throw Justice and Ingro onto my queue because they can help me because I am keen on assists. I can deal with their free throw percentage. They are... Hey, did Brendan Ingram go? Did I miss that? He must have already gone. Huh. All right. Apologize for talking shit about Brandon Ingram. There he is. He went to Le Mall Free earlier. Apologies for that. I thought he was still available. Anyway, Justice Winslow is an interesting one there. Also, Kyle Anderson's a pretty good assist guy, as is Bogdan. So you can get some assists not just from point guards. So don't be caught up completely in the point guard situation. Jingle and Joe Ingles, I don't know if he's already gone. I can't remember. I think he might have already gone. He's another interesting assist guy. An upside pick on Alfred Payton if he wins the job over Dennis Smith. The iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, is still available. Not necessarily a high upside assist player, but still someone who gets assists. Chetty Osman's around. Kent Bazemore can get some assists. And then we get pretty low in that area. But Winslow is an option for me. I think we might throw Justice up the top there with Bogdan into my queue. They'd be options for me. Yeah, but actually, he's not going to fall, is he? Justice isn't going to fall down all the way to pick 140-odd, whatever it is my selection is. Who is up now? The Clowpers at pick 128. Jaylen Brown just off the board last time at number 127. Letting that clock wind down. We're right on an hour here for this podcast. So, hey, not too bad of a length for a snake draft. Jakob Poeltl off to the Clawpers. Justice Winslow, Fias Kane, you can go and eat a dick, because that is who I was going to have a look at picking. So, yeah, thank you for that. All right, which way are we going now? Chocolate-covered pretzels and dribbling suds and wild horses with the last couple of picks. DeAndre Jordan off to the Pretzels. An interesting selection, no doubt. Who is dribbling suds next? But I guess, yeah, in round 11, bench, if he does get the starting job over Allen, if he plays 25 minutes, he can provide value for the right team at that spot. Dribbling suds, I think Bogdan's going to have to go. What? Kyle Alexander? Anderson. That could have been a disaster. Hey, pay attention to who you put onto your cues instead of putting someone called Kyle Alexander, who is on the Miami Heat roster, but I don't expect to play at all this season. I'm not sure if he's even a two-way guy. Very much woke. I'm used to auctions and long snakes. This draft is flying by. Yeah, it is. Which is good. We've only got 25 picks left to round this out. Bogdan Bogdanovic goes to the dribbling suds at pick number 11 in the 11th round. And then 12 is Wild Horses, just looking to wrap up this round. And he takes Paul Millsap, which is, you know, again, I don't think there's much upside in either of those picks. He took Millsap and Dragic, but they do make sense for a team at that spot in the draft. There is still some good enough value there in that area. My team has dropped down in terms of my estimation of it. There's just some concerns with my squad, pretty obviously. The rebound is a real issue. Kelly Olynyk's still available, so maybe he is the guy that we grab here to help out with my rebound numbers. He can hit some threes as well. Hachimura is another decent enough rebounder I could be considering in this spot. Nick Batum off there. Norman Powell. Stormer Norman goes at 135. And then I'm coming back to my last couple of picks. I think, yeah, I do want to grab another rebounder, and that will be... Olynyk's not the greatest rebounder, but he can pull some boards in. Who else have we got there? There's not much in terms of big men who are left on the board. Cody Zeller, who is as uninspiring as it gets, but yeah, does RJ Barrett, let's throw him into the queue just in case. Throw Cody Zeller down there as well. He can be of assistance to my team. quite obviously. So that is a really uninspiring cue. Hachimura, Olynyk, Kyle Anderson, RJ Barrett, Cody Zeller. This is what happens at the end of drafts. Josh Okogie off the board, Eric Gordon off the board, Tophias Kanin, Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers. Why am I saying Clippers? Clippers. I assume it's Clippers because of Kawhi Leonard. How dumb am I? Anyway, Clippers off the board there to the Clippers at pick number... Clippers at number 137. At number 138, we've got Team Is Manny. He'll be winding down the clock. No doubt about that. Let's see which direction he decides to go in. Still some options there. I wonder if Harrison Barnes, the pencil, gets picked in this draft. All right. Anyone going to take the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu? I'm just saying names here at this point. Who is Manny? He loves winding the clock down. Loves it. Smoking Joe Harris off the board. Hey, you need threes? Perfect. Great efficiency. Hits threes. Jack shit else. But really, that's what you're looking for to fill the gaps here. Very much woke. Going upside with Brandon Clark there at pick a number 139. I don't know how... he is the front court of the future, I believe. How many minutes he gets this season remains to be seen. Give him 24 and he can be a contributor in standard leagues, though. Lord Alfred Payton off the board to Beef Baby, taking an upside pick to see whether he can be that guy. But he could also be a 4 assists in 20 minutes a game sort of a player, which, of course, you can have value on teams when assists get pretty rough. Same with RJ Barrett, who just went off the board to Le Moufrit. At that spot, he's going to get some rebounds and assists. I worry how it fits on this team, but he's still, at this spot, a decent enough selection to invest in. Hidden upside on the board now, and then it is up to me with my pick. And I'm going to take Kelly Olynyk, I believe, with my selection once we get back around to that area. We're not quite there yet. Yeah, Olynyk's going to be my guy here. Get some boards. He's a poor steals guy. Kyle Anderson might help me in the steals if I can grab him on the turnaround, although upside there is, again, it's pretty limited with those players. Upside, come on, make the pick. Do I take a flyer on Rui? I think I pretty much have to at this point. Darius Garland to hidden upside. You know what? Let's call an audible. Let's grab Rui at this spot as a bit of an upside pick. And then do we take Kyle Anderson with the last selection? Who do we grab with that last pick? The Rui pick is not ideal, obviously, but I think he can be an okay rebounder. He can score a little bit. Anderson or Olynyk? I think it's going to be Anderson just to get some steals upside on my bench, some assist value as well. Interestingly, at 144 where we're at, Kyle Kuzma is still on the board. Harrison Barnes is still on the board. DJ Augustin is still on the board. Some players who you might not think would still be available are still available. I reckon I'm going to take Kyle Anderson if that's where it comes back to with this last pick, just to try and give me some steals value, some assists upside with that last pick. If the minutes come, they may not, but he can be a very weird and interesting fantasy contributor as we've seen over the years. Charmer, your time is running down. Make your pick. 1 second left. He is going to get autoed, and he does get autoed. Going with Cody Zeller. It's his pick again for his final selection in this draft. And I tweeted this out the other day. I should say it now. And I did this as a 13-round draft just because it's standard. I think that every draft should be standard 14 rounds. 14 players per team, 4 bench guys. And I'll tell you why. Because the person who picks first, number one, that means they, and you get to do a snake draft, so the round reverses every round. The person who picks number one, that means they get to pick first in 7 rounds. And they pick last in 6 rounds. So not only do they get the advantage by having the first pick in the first round, the elite area, but they also get the first pick in the last round. It should be at least 14 rounds so that everyone gets a fair amount of alternating. I don't understand why we stuck with a 13-team roster. It should be 14. All of my Red Rock Challenge leagues have 14-team rosters, and that was just me giving an extra depth, make it a bit more challenging, a little bit more stashability as well. But I just don't understand why we give that an extra advantage. Now, third round reversal. I'm going to pick Kyle Anderson here before I continue this rant with my last pick. Third round reversal is fine, which is what it does is the person picks first in round one, they pick last in round two, and then they also pick last in round three, and then we just go back and forward after that, which does even it out a little bit, but it still gives us an uneven amount of rounds. meaning that, you know, things do change a little bit there. And that means the person picking first picks first in 6 rounds instead of 7 rounds, which is probably a little bit fair considering they get that first round. But just make it 14 rounds if you don't want to go third round reversal. They are two options. But this sort of situation, it is default. That is why I did it. But this sort of situation, I don't think should ever continue as a standard format. It's either standard third round reversal or standard 14 round draft. And yeah, I'm probably more into a 14 round draft. You could do 14 round draft even with a third round reversal to really even things up. And that might be something that there is no actually set option for that on Fantrax. I need to get them to set that up for me. But that is another option. Hidden Upside goes with Chetty Osman. Lemuel Fritt goes with Kyle Kuzma, the future MVP, to round out their drafts. So we're finishing off this round here. Malik Monk to Beef Baby. I'm pretty interested in Monk this season, as this is an excellent spot for him to grab him here. If it doesn't work, ass booted. That's fine. But I think at this spot, fine. He gets assists. He can score. He can hit threes. He can hit free throws. He's also, you know, hasn't been committed to what he's been doing. Maybe the third year is the time that he turns it around. So I do like Malik Monk as a last round flyer. All right, which way are we going here? Reggie Jackson, that is a low upside pick. Reggie Jackson goes at very much woke there. All right. Look, my team is overloaded in points. It's got okay assists and steals, great free throws, average field goals, average rebounds, average threes. It's not my best constructed team. I feel confident in saying that. I could have done better at a lot of these spots. But this was a very competitive draft. People really taking categorical scarcity into account, grabbing a lot of the guys that I like to grab as well. Team is Manny going with the lowest upside pick you can make with Tristan Thompson, but I can't shit on it too much. I took Tristan Thompson in a draft yesterday with the last pick too, because again, we just don't know what Beeline's going to do. Maxi Kleber goes to the Clippers at pick number 152, a great blocks and threes type of a guy, a solid enough free throw shooter as well. Fias Kane going off the board. Not off the board, he's on the clock at number 153. All right, so let's have a look at how this is going to Derek Rose. He doesn't get maximum Derek. No, sorry. Vias Kane off the board with Derek off the clock. Derek Rose, his pick, chocolate covered pretzels at 153 with our final three picks of this draft. Markel Fultz, love it, love it. I have faith in Fultz. Nobody else seems to, but I have faith in him. I think he's going to be playing minutes this season. And if he was the starter in January, I would not be surprised. And he could be a top 50 guy. It's extraordinarily unlikely this season, but I still have some value there with I still have some faith in Markel. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He goes at pick 155, and the last pick is the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
And that will wrap up the draft. So you can see my draft here at pick number 2, James Harden, 23, Westbrook, 26, Kemba Walker, 47, LaMarcus Aldridge, 50, Jonas Valanciunas, 71, Julius Randle, 74, Malcolm Brogdon, 95, DeJounte Murray, 98, Gary Harris, 119, Davis Bertans, 122, Fanta Pants, Kevin Huerter, 143, Rui Hachimura, and 146, Kyle Anderson. So that'll wrap up the draft for this mock draft. So thank you to everyone for participating in this league, or not this league, in this draft. All right, so that's the end of that draft. We'll put up the projected standings over here onto the screen. As you can see, Team Charma coming in at number 1, the Clippers number 2, Beef Baby 3, me at 4, Lemuel Fritt at 5, Hidden Upside 6, Very Much Woke at 7, Chocolate Covered Pretzels at 8, Fias Kane at 9, Dribbling Suds at 10, Wild Horses at 11, and Team Is Manny at 12. You're relatively competitive. My team doesn't look like they're going to be able to get wins over those top 3 teams, which is not ideal. So let's have a look at, go through actually what Team Charma's team looks like. So that's the team that's projected number 1. He went with Anthony Davis at the start of the draft. He's got Zion and Ben Simmons, the Tank Tom Bryant, Lonzo Ball, Miles Bridges, Steve Adams, Marc Gasol, Tomas Satoransky, Cody Zeller, DJ Augustin, PJ Tucker, and Ish Smith. And a super heavy punt. He punted the shit out of points. He punted threes, and he punted free throw percentage. And his team is really strong in 5 categories. Massive rebounds, good assists, great steals, strong blocks, huge field goal percentage of 50%. and middle-of-the-pack turnovers, which is going to get him wins in majority of weeks. So a super aggressive, strong punt there from Team Chama. Let's also go through the Clappers team as well. Just have a look at how they look. They are the second-place team. Lillard, Vucevic. Now, I shit on that Vucevic pick, but his team's ended up all right. Bam Adebayo, Bud Hield. I shitted on that one as well. Apologize to you, Clappers. Tatum, Rozier, Toby Harris, Steel on Harris, Steel on Rozier. Šarić, Dario Šarić, of course. Jarrett Allen, Jakob Poeltl, Alex Len, stacked up on big men late. Maxi Kleber and Eric Gordon. He has no assists or steals really on his team at all. You can have a look at, projected to beat him in those categories, but a super strong field goal. Sorry, super strong free throw percentage. No turnovers whatsoever. Great rebounds, good threes, solid enough points, but no assists or no steals with good blocks. And they projected out to be the number two team in that list. That'll do it for today's podcast. That'll do it for the regular scheduled programming for this week. But remember, bonus episode tomorrow, nickname definitions, sound drop origins. Listen to all that. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble, on Instagram, LockedOnFantasyBasketball. Subscribe on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment. Interact with the show. Vote on the polls on the Instagram story as well. And subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Gay.